The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny on this Friday morning. Good morning to you. If you are in Dublin, you cannot but notice the colour that is around the city because the Pride Parade takes place tomorrow. The theme this year is taking liberties. The festival marking another milestone anniversary as well because it's 10 years since marriage equality and 10 years since the Gender Recognition Act. I am joined in studio by the co-CEO of Dublin LGBTQ Plus Pride, Jamie Kenny, President of Trinity College Dublin Students Union, Jenny McGuire, and Colin McGorman, a human rights campaigner and leader of the Marriage Equality Campaign. You're all very welcome, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having us.
Big weekend. Colin, I'll start with you.
You do. I better correct it quickly. I wasn't the leader of the Marriage Equality Campaign. I was certainly one of the campaigners.
One of the leaders. I think we can describe you as one of the leaders of the campaign. Do you know what? This year seems more significant. The reason it seems more significant is because the world. and how much of that is being felt by the gay community?
Well, I mean, right now we have huge questions hanging over what's going to happen in Budapest over the next 24 hours. So as some listeners might be aware, Hungary has passed increasingly discriminatory legislation that criminalises LGBTQ people in that country and limits their freedom of assembly and their freedom of expression. And they've banned Pride for the first time in Budapest.
Well, the mayor
is going ahead. I know Roderick O'Gorman and some other Irish political figures are out there in solidarity to march, and we'll see what's going to happen. There's a very significant chance that there will be arrests. There could even be significant violence. We've seen that play out across prides in Europe, you know, over the last 20 years, but it was certainly significantly reduced over the last 5 years or more. Like Amnesty, when I was in Amnesty, we used to do go along to prides at risk and observe and take part in acts of solidarity. That work had really We'd stopped doing that and now we're having to ramp it up again because the level of oppression and repression that we're seeing against LGBT communities across the world has increased significantly. I mean, I now work in the area of refugee resettlement and looking at community-based welcome initiatives for refugees and people in need of protection. We've started to get inquiries, for instance, for the first time from trans people in the US asking about opportunities for asylum in Ireland.
Asylum,
right? People who feel their lives and their well-being are so at risk that they need to find another country where they can claim international protection. And by the way, at this stage, given the attitude of the federal government, at some point it's going to become clear that they will have a strong case to do so. So the atmosphere, not just the atmosphere and the environment, but the legislative framework that impacts upon the lives of LGBTQ people, never mind the level of vitriol in social and public discourse that's increased over the last years is a huge risk.
Jamie, a lot of the companies that would have been the biggest supporters of Pride, I'm talking the big multinationals, predominantly the US multinationals, are they a lot cooler on it this year or have they had to tone down their support? How have you experienced it?
Yeah, there's no doubt, of course, that there's a good few multinationals that have backed out or pulled away from the parade. They may stay engaged in other ways. And some such companies that have been reported on are still maybe supporting other LGBT organisations in our community. But there is no doubt that it has an effect on us. But most importantly, it may have an effect on their employees working for such organisations whose connection to the community was facilitated by their employer. So I think our job is to really make sure that those employees know that they're still welcome at Pride, even if their employer has decided to back away. You know, Pride is for them. Pride is for everyone that wants to take part in a very kind of, you know, mutually kind of beneficial way. But especially LGBTQ employees, I think it's very important to make sure that they know that Pride is still a place for them. And we're going to facilitate that as best as we can. But there's no doubt that we're not going to stick our heads in the sand that some multinationals backing out, it means you might have to lose a few bells and whistles. But use every kind of drawback as an opportunity. And what we have seen is for every US multinational that has pulled out, maybe two or three Irish or EU companies have joined in.
So they're almost backfilling.
Almost backfilling. Yeah. But I mean, our numbers have not decreased based on even those drawbacks.
So. Jenny, this would have started as a protest. So when Pride began in Dublin, it was almost a reaction to the aggression that was towards the gay community exclusively at that time. How do you feel about this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, like, Pride is a fantastic time. I mean, you already noted the colours all around the city. It's great to see such a vibrant and expressive city come to life because that is the reality of LGBT people. You know, we see increased hate and increased rhetoric from, especially online and especially in the political sphere. But on the ground, people are supportive. People who you talk to, you know, are just letting people live their lives. But it is still important that we go out and march and that we show that that support is there.
Do you feel that, and a lot of people, I suppose a lot of straight people will probably go, it's not for me. Is there still that attitude there?
I think over the past number of years, it's you know, there is a little bit, but I think people are coming out more and more. Now it's more important than ever that people do come out, especially our allies. You know, when companies pull out or when things change, we still always have that community, and that we are only strong if we have a broad base of people, gay, straight, trans, cisgender or not, you know, people coming together because we want a better world and we're pushing for it.
Do you feel in Ireland right now is a safe place for you?
I feel Ireland is an increasingly hostile and polarised place. I still think it's safe. I think Ireland is a great place to be. But I think some people are trying to take advantage of the turn away from all LGBT people and this turn away from progressive politics we've seen over the past number of years for political gain. I think people don't have hatred in their hearts for the LGBT people, but they are using us for political gain as a political volley.
Colm, you mentioned the social side of it, the social media side of it, not the social side, which is grand, the social media side, which has become incredibly toxic. And I'm sitting here now, I've got X open on the screen because I'm on air and I want to make sure that, you know, the world doesn't end while I'm here. But is it becoming much harder to work out how your neighbours and friends feel about gay people because you're seeing so much nasty stuff being thrown at you that could be coming from anywhere?
No. It's not. I mean, you know, the people in my life, and, you know, I live in rural North County Wexford, lived there for over 20 years. We raised our kids there. Our kids went to the local schools. We were very involved in our local community. We had a wonderful, well, I mean, we were new to the place when we got there, right? Yeah. They didn't know us then, but we never, and more importantly, our kids never experienced any kind of issues. They experienced nothing other than acceptance and interest and joy and curiosity that was positive rather than prurient, right? So, I don't accept it. I think the vast majority of Irish people, and we saw this in 2015 with the marriage equality referendum, and I think it's why there was such a celebration after it passed. The vast majority of people want to live in a country that's inclusive, that's respectful, that embraces people, that wants to see people fulfil their potential, that recognises that the relationships, the intimate relationships that we form with each other are the basis upon which we build our lives, our families, our community and our republic. They believe in principles like equality. Why in heaven's name did people dance in the streets for days afterwards because of the result of that referendum? It's because those are values that are core to who we are as a people. And that remains the truth.
Mm. Do you think,
the flip side of that, yeah, Jonathan, the kind of stuff that happens in social media, and it is a small, very loud, violently aggressive group of people who are spewing that kind of hate. And I would never want to underestimate, because I've experienced so much of it myself, the impact that it has on the well-being and the mental health and the lives of the people who are its target. So I really worry about young LGBTQ people at the moment who, if they go anywhere online, anything with any reference to their identity or their sexuality or their gender, and they're hearing language like groomer, like it's all of that old nasty stuff that we thought was over with, you know, 15 years ago, that links being LGBTQ to being deviant, to being predatory, to be like, that has a huge impact. It's a tiny minority of people. Yeah. But it has an outsized impact.
Has anyone experienced that? I mean,
absolutely.
Constantly.
I've been called a paedophile. I am a threat to women. I am a threat to children. And anytime I say anything, I could be, you know, I've spent the past year as student union president in Trinity. It's been a fantastic opportunity.
You're not exactly hiding behind the bushes.
Exactly. And so, but like, I do be talking about every issue, housing, healthcare, things that we're all facing. And just because I am a trans person, the comments under every single thing I do are calling me every word under the sun.
It, and it goes back to the classic question about social media. Do you think they'd say it to your face?
No, I've never, no one has ever said anything like that to my face.
Yeah, I would have had exactly the same experience. Now, I'm old enough, as Jonathan has pointed out on a few occasions.
Which you respect, that was during the ad break.
to have been the recipient of that kind of hate in good old slow mail, right? So I remember, you know, back in the early 2000s, when we came back to Ireland first and I was clearly out, and then out as somebody who was co-parenting with my partner. We were out there at that time, like 20 plus years ago. And I got the letters, you know, pity the child raised by two queers. I got the death threats. I got all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But that fell away significantly. But now, anytime, like I used to write a regular for 4 years. I did a cookery column in the Irish Examiner.
It was a very good cookery
very
column.
Very often, under posts to do with food, it was okay, groomer, you know, shut up, pedo, all of that kind of stuff. Like that kind of vile, nasty attack is constant. And it's pushing people out of those spaces. Yeah. I don't go on X anymore, hardly, because it's just...
Well, there's no point, really. There isn't
an awful place to
Jamie,
be.
Jamie, I would phrase this as diplomatically as I can. There are a lot of flags that will be flown this weekend that are of the colour that would represent the gay LGBT community. And there's a lot of other flag-waving types as well who target certain groups. Have you seen a little bit of that?
So I think in Dublin Pride, as you said, we have a very small but very vocal minority of people who would like to come out and protest us. But the thing is about our parade is we're too big. So they're going to look very ineffective and small and weak when they try that. They're more likely to target a regional or a small, much more smaller, maybe pride that's happening down in the countryside, because they can look big, look like they have a dominating.
How
presence.
Do you feel when we're talking about the tricolour being misappropriated here? How do you feel when that flag is being used against you? Because I'd imagine a lot of the people who tweet you will have the tricolour for some reason.
Or they might have the tricolour, but also in their bio say that, you know, they're US American, kind of, we get that kind of a lot. As we don't, even as an organisation, we don't use X as a platform, as Colm alluded to. I would say what's very important is to remember that they are a minority. Sometimes it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
And in a world where you're dominated by negative news coming out of the US and the UK, and obviously Hungary is one such example, is that protest is very important. We would describe what we're going to do tomorrow as both a march and a parade, because it's both. It's both protest, it's celebration for whoever's marching. But the one thing is counteracting those negative voices, because if you also go super negative, then they win, they dominate the cycle, because queer joy is a form of resilience. And us getting together as a community and lifting each other up and dancing and hugging each other, that's what it's all
about. And the 60,000 people who will take part are not all members of the LGBT community.
No, but that was like the point.
You made that comment earlier on about, you know, how many straight people are still involved. Yeah. Like, I have so many friends who I know are going to Pride-related events who are straight over the next couple of days, because they just love this weekend.
But you've also got moms and dads and your brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, Pride is for everybody, and it is a chance through the lens of the LGBT community to celebrate diversity, to celebrate inclusion, to celebrate love, to celebrate who we are, and to manifest that. And I think that's just a huge opportunity that's relevant
to everybody. It's the biggest DEI event in the country, really.
Yeah. So. And they're not three dirty letters, despite what America tells.
Yeah.
The most important question that I've forgotten to ask you, Jamie, what's the weather forecast?
It's going to be nice. Unlike last year, it looks like we'll have a tiny bit of cloud cover, but nice and warm.
That just means you won't get sunburned. That's okay.
Yeah, it's grand. But I would recommend people bring water, bring sunscreen.
Starting where?
It's going to be starting on O'Connell Street. Tomorrow the parade will kick off at 12:30. We'll go to Merrion Square, where we have a full day festival event with community speeches, a food village, entertainment on the stage. We will also have a lot of accessibility initiatives for anyone who can't walk the full route of the parade, or also in the park. We have ISL on the stage, and we also have a Neuro Pride help us out with a quieter zone.
You can't have it all covered then. It'll be quite literally something for everybody.
Yeah.
Jamie Kenny, CEO of Dublin's Pride Parade, Colm O'Gorman and Jenny McGuire. Thank you all very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.